Welcome to Show the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media and Shield and Mosquito Shield. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Sander Sanchez. How you doing, my G?
What's good, baby?
Sander, I'm so excited to talk some NFL football because you already know the best season of all the sports is back. And we got Lord Jake Paul that we're going to talk about. We definitely got to touch up on tomorrow's Thursday night football game. But we are going to start with the NBA because John Wall and the Houston Rockets have come to an agreement, and they're going to try to get the dude out of there. Listen, John Wall got selected number one overall, what it seems many moons ago. If you think about it, it's 10 years now since John Wall got selected number one overall out of Kentucky. And he's been around a few teams now, and unfortunately for John Wall, his health has really been the downfall for his career. But nonetheless, still a good quality player in today's NBA standard, and somebody's going to try to reach out and get a player of his caliber. But that player comes with an immense price tag right now. We're talking about $42 million that you got to really invest into this guy. And that might make it a little difficult. But nonetheless, Sander, can John Wall help a title contender compete for a championship this year?
I mean, absolutely. But the problem about that is, Jay, when you look at the title contenders, a lot of them are kind of strapped with money. You know, the Lakers, they don't really have money to give to pay for that contract, and the Rockets want assets. They're not just going to give them up for a bag of chips and some cookies on the side. They want some assets because they know that the Rockets are in a stage right now where it's rebuild mode. They had the worst record in the league last season, and really there wasn't not much to play for. They drafted a few young guards. That guard that they drafted In the most recent draft, they're supposed to be putting all the chips on him. He's the next man up. And the Jalen Green is the next man up. And unfortunately for John Wall, he's the next man out. He's not in a situation to rebuild. He's really not in his in the stage of his career where he can be put in a rebuild situation. John Wall is compete now type status. And there's a few teams that I have in mind that can try and compete with John Wall, and a few of those teams like Toronto, you know, Toronto, and they were, it wasn't that long ago where, you know, yes, they had a guy like Kawhi who's a top five, top 10 player in the league, but, you know, with a guy like John Wall and Pascal Siakam, they still have some pieces to compete in the East. And John Wall, I'm going to tell you right now, he's not the player of, he's not the caliber of player, quite frankly, Jay, that's going to, you know, push the needle from a contender to a championship contender, or from a championship contender to a solidified punch their ticket. Like, even if John Wall went to one of those teams like the Nets or the Lakers or the Milwaukee Bucks, which I think he'd benefit in Milwaukee, because Jay, how many times in last season's playoffs did we see Middleton just not show up, or Drew Holiday not show up? John Wall may not be, you know, the starter on that team, but on the second, and I get it, he doesn't want to be coming off the bench because he's not that quality of player. He deserves to start on some teams. But it, John Wall, if you want to think about winning that chip this late in your career, you might want to think of maybe taking a back seat depending on the situation that is brought up to you, because there's not teams that are lined up clamoring to get John Wall right now. You know what I'm saying? There's a real small market for him. So he really needs to evaluate the teams and the situations that they're willing to give to him. Because, Jay, if I'm John Wall and the Clippers are at my door, the Milwaukee Bucks are at my door, hell, even if Philly's at my door, because we all know that situation with Ben Simmons is getting ugly. He wants out. And John Wall's still producing, man. He's 31 years old, 10 years in the league. He has been running into a few injuries the last few seasons. He played 40 games last season for the Rockets, but he was still managed to give you 20 points a game and close to 7 assists. So he's productive. He's still very serviceable as long as he stays healthy. And why I don't think maybe Philly could be the perfect fit, although it would be a good fit, better fit than Ben Simmons, because Ben Simmons is just, you know what I mean? We've seen that movie way too many times. We've seen part one, part two, and part three, and we all know things about movies.
And part three sucks, Sander.
unless it's John Wick, a lot of part three of the movies aren't that good. Okay, yeah. So Jay, John Wall just really needs to look at what's given to him. You know, evaluate his situation, because Jay, even in Miami, as much as I would love for him to go to Miami, you know, we just picked up Kyle Lowry. And like I said, he doesn't want to be a bench player. So he really, really needs to just carefully look at where he's at in his career. Just really just have a self-evaluation. Know that you're not the number one guy. You're probably not going to be the number two guy. But hell, if John Wall's your number three guy, you're in a really good situation. So, like I said, teams like the Clippers, where, you know, they know that they're not going to get Kawhi Leonard because he's out for next season. But hey, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and John Wall, that's pretty solid. That can make some noise. Like I said, John Wall is a productive player on the court. When he's on the court, he's going to give you what he's going to score the ball. He's going to run the offense a little bit. I mean, I see what you're saying in New York. I mean, and that would sound pretty and nice and dandy, but I just still don't think that New York's in a situation where John Wall can help them. New York is in a situation where they got those young guns. They're trying to develop them. And John Wall kind of puts a halt to the development process. John Wall is in a compete now situation, and New York didn't make the proper steps to get into the playoffs. The Knicks, I'm speaking of. But I still think they need a few more pieces before they could think of adding a John Wall. Because, again, if this was John Wall in free agency, hell yeah, New York, go out there and get him. Or any of those teams that I mentioned, go out there and get him. But these teams, because it's trading for him and the Rockets want a haul, they want draft picks. They want maybe a player that they can put out there. But it, you got to see, it's a small market for him, Jay. So can he help a championship contender? Yes, but I don't think it's likely that a championship contender is going to be willing to give the Rockets what they want. He just needs to see what they give him. If the Clippers come knocking through the door and that's the only team that comes knocking through the door, then you better just go at, might as well go ahead and go to the Clippers. Or maybe, like I said, I really like Milwaukee with him with Milwaukee because we've seen the tragedy of how Milwaukee looks when Middleton looks like he DNP'd or Drew Holiday looks like he exerts so much energy guarding the best guard on the other team that offensively he may not have it going. So a guy like John Wall, who's giving you 20 points a game, who can shoot, who can still bring it to the bring it inside, John Wall can still take it to the hoop. You know what I'm saying? He's not a player that I know athletically he's not the same player he was coming out of Kentucky, but he's still very athletic coming off the injuries that he's come off of. So, Jay, it's a small market for him. Any of the contenders that can get him should get him. But it's just a matter of how much they're willing to give up for him. And if this was John Wall maybe 2-3 years ago, I would understand any team giving up a haul for John Wall. But unfortunately, coming off a few injuries the past few years, the market for John Wall, the price or the value of John Wall has gone down tremendously. And that's just how it is sometimes in the NBA, Jay. So can he help a contender? Yes. Will he be on a contender? I think not.
Yeah, and me and you come down to the same agreement. Can he? Sure, if you're on the roster, but I don't see any of these teams taking that financial burden, which is John Wall at the moment, and adding them to their team. But I want to say this because I feel like a lot of people forgot this. Because you mentioned a few years ago, we considered John Wall the fastest guy in the NBA easily, and then DeAndre Fox came in. He's a little speed demon himself, but that's for another conversation. Yeah, I agree. John Wall is definitely still a good caliber of player, Sander, but I just can't see what team he fits. I really, you know, I put this question together, and I really try to put it like a puzzle, like, where can I fit John Wall in the league right now? And I couldn't think of a place, honestly, because I really can't put him in a starting lineup. And like you said, he's not really trying to be a bench player, so he's going to have to be – so it's going to be a tricky fit. And I kind of put him in the same situation, Sander. Maybe I'm on base, maybe I'm not. But I think that him and Cam Newton are in a very similar scenario where they're like – they're used to being stars. Both were selected number one overalls. They're both used to being the face of the franchise. And now because of injury and lower-tier play, now you find yourself in a scenario that, you know, you're not as worth as much as you think you are. You mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks, Sander. You know, they have Pat Connaughton there, and they lost DiVincenzo in the beginning of the playoffs, so I think they're very excited to get him back. So I think that they're pretty good when it comes to the guard with those two guys, and then they got Drew Holiday now. So I don't think that he fits there necessarily. There's been a lot of buzz about Los Angeles Clippers. Of course, they let Rondo go and freaking Pat Bev go. So there's a big hole there. But I do think that they are looking at that kid. Oh, what's that young kid's name that I can't remember?
At the Man.
Yes, Travis Mann. Thank you. He emerged. As he looks like he's going to be the starting point guard moving forward, especially with Kawhi being gone for what could potentially be the whole season. They're definitely going to try to develop him. And I think bringing John Wall may stunt his development because you're trying to build something there internally if you're the Clippers. But it could be a good fit. I'm not sending him to the Bulls because Lonzo just got there and they got Zach LaVine. And it's not going to happen in Chicago. It's just not going to happen for John Wall. So I'm really just – I don't really have many options for him. You mentioned New York and how he will really just be like a bump on the road, if anything. Because all those guys that they've drafted early, they're trying to build that. I love that kid that they drafted on Obi Toppin. I think he's going to be a stud in this league. Sure, he got some growing pains to do because he's still now going into his second year. But I think he's going to play very well for them. They got Julius Randle that kept D Rose. So where are you putting John Wall in this rotation of guys in New York? So if I'm John Wall, unfortunately, I'm probably going to have to wait for somebody to get hurt and somebody that's going to be desperate enough to pay that price, Henry, because like I told you, $42 million for a player at his stature at this moment just isn't worth it for the good teams.
100%. And, you know, Jay, it's 2 years, 91.7 mil. And the thing is, that's with a player option, not a team option. If he wants, he'll take that $42 million and just sit pretty. And you'll have to eat it. You might have to eat it and then release him. But there's, you know, Jay, the thing about John Wall, though, he's not Vince Carter grandpa old. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still 31 and he's still, you know, not the springiest chicken, but he still has a few legs. He may not be the fastest, but I still don't put him under top 10, top 15. He's still one of the fastest. And Jay, I just think that maybe he needs to learn that he's not, if he wants to really win and compete and understand that his legacy now at this point is in his career, it's not about numbers. It's not about the flashiest numbers because John Wall has really never been that guy that put up the gaudiest numbers, or he was never in contention of being the best point guard in the league. But damn well, he was very serviceable. And he can go down as one of those point guards. Like, damn, I remember he was really solid. He wasn't the best, but listen, take that back seat. Pull a Dwayne Wade when LeBron came to Miami. Understand that you're not going to be the number one option anymore. And if you want to get a championship and be on a contender, you'll have to learn that you're not going to be that one or two guy. And I don't know if John Wall has it within himself to put himself in that position anymore because he's such an alpha. But if he wants to do what's best for him, I wish I knew the guy personally so he could kind of listen to me, even though he might not give a hell what I have to say. But at least someone should at least get in his ear and tell him and have him realize, guy, your legacy already is what it is. Do you want to be a guy that was just known for being a good player, probably not even make the Hall of Fame, even though the NBA hands out Hall of Fame inductees like candies to kids? But he would definitely be at least solidified, and there'd be an argument if he went to a contender with the mentality of, I'm not the number one guy. I'm not the number two guy. I could be the number three guy.
Kind of like a Carmelo Anthony.
Exactly. But at least a little bit more productive than Carmelo, because he can do a little bit more.
Like Carmelo and, going to the Trailblazers.
Yes, 100%.
Or even OKC.
Even the OKC, Melo, I would be more comfortable saying that because John Wall, like I said, still giving you 20 a game. He's still productive at the point guard position. And Jay, if he goes to a team that's a real contender and takes on the role that we would expect him and hope he does take, which is the second or third option, dude, he can actually go out there and win a championship and we wouldn't think anything negative about it, because we know, listen, he's not in that point in his career where he is that number one guy. So him being the number three guy and going on to a contender and winning a championship, that would definitely do really well for his case to be a legit Hall of Famer. Other than a guy that doesn't win a championship, you know, maybe has a few runs in the playoffs, and then next thing you know, a few years down the line, you and I see him as an inductee to Hall of Fame, and we're like, what the hell? I mean, I love, you know me, Jay. You know I love me some Tracy McGrady. I love me some T-Mac. But am I lying when I said, what the hell, when he was a Hall of Fame? Like, I know he was great and all, but I don't think he did anything that warrants him in a Hall of Fame induction. And that example is unfortunately what John Wall would fall in. And I would hate to see that, because at least if T-Mac won a chip, there'd be a really good case for him to make it. No argument. And that's what we're talking about here. No argument. So go out there and go be the third fiddle and go win a championship, or at least compete for one. So that way your argument for a Hall of Fame later down in your career, it would have more valid. It'd have more sauce to the opinion. You know what I'm saying, Jay?
Absolutely. And I agree with you. We're both going to second the whole thing that I don't see a scenario where John Wall makes a Hall of Fame. To me, like, I'm a big eye test guy. And if I see you and I'm like, that's Hall of Fame talent, then you're going to get it. But I see John Wall, and besides the speed, sure, you could get to the rim. Sure, you could facilitate. But John Wall's never averaged 10 assists in a season. He's never been that guy. Sure, he could get you 7, 8, even 9. He topped out at 9 one year. But he's just not that guy to me. And dare I say, I think that his best scenario, just stay in Houston. One, they're already paying you. And two, let the young kids shine. Don't be insecure about Jalen Green and Elijah Wood. You should embrace that. You got young guys that have young legs that could run with anybody in the league. And you being the season pro at 31 years old, why not teach those young kids what it is to be an NBA player? What it is. Houston is a big city, man. This is a city just like Dallas where you could get into a lot of trouble. There's no state taxes in Texas, so it's very easy to have fun. And if you want to go to Los Angeles, that's a small trip from there. Las Vegas is right there. So if I was John Wall, mentor the kids. You're not going to be in a position to win, but nobody saw John Wall as a winner to begin with in my eye. So take the money. Teach the young kids, teach them how to win and how to really be the face of an organization. Because I really do feel like if you said John Wall is your third guy, if you're the third guy between those two young guys, then they're already in a good spot moving forward if those guys, the young kids, pan out to be what they hope they could be.
I mean, that would sound good, Jay, but I just think John Wall wants to be in a situation where he wants to win. And the Rockets are going to put him in that situation because they know that they don't want to waste paying
them. They're going to try.
As bad as no other team wants to pay that tag, what makes you think Houston wants to pay that tag? You know, they don't want to suck. They don't want to suck and pay a big amount of money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So get them out of there. Get them out of there.
Yeah, and I get it. So we'll see. We'll definitely have to keep a close eye on Paul and see where he ends up, because we'll be watching. For sure. But what we did watch, Sander, was week one of the NFL. I was so excited to have it come back. I was so happy to be sitting my ass on a couch watching football with my family. It was a great time, and I love seeing all the plays you see, watching my homeboy come back. And, you know, but there was a lot more games in the NFL. We had a full slate of guys that were out there performing. And listen, the NFL athletes to me are just tremendous because of what they do and the way they entertain us, the things that they go through physically to entertain us as fans. Sure, you get a nice paycheck, but you do put your body at risk, Sander. But nonetheless, you know, we had a lot of guys that showed out. Pro Football Focus ranked Tom Brady as the offensive player of the week, and that left me a little like, did you not see some of these other guys? But nonetheless, we got a couple guys that shine in our eyes. So, Sander, no more ado. Tell me a couple guys that had a good weekend for you.
Well, Jay, I mean, I don't know what these guys were seeing when they saw Brady. Like, granted, he won the game, but he definitely didn't have the number one ranked quarterback game of the week. So I'm going with a few guys that definitely shined. Tyler Lockett and Jalen Hurst. And I'm gonna get to Tyler Lockett first. Because, Jay, I mean, I've seen Tyler Lockett and Russell Wilson hook up for a touchdown more than I've seen Family Guy episodes. And I've seen a lot of those. Like, I've seen every single episode. So it's like, I don't know how many more times. It's crazy. But, Jay, this duo is so underrated because they're always hooking up for a touchdown. I don't remember the last time I saw a Seahawks game where it isn't Russell and Lock hooking up. And we all know that he has the super freaking DK Metcalf. We all know he has Chris Carson and a few of the running backs that, you know, we understand that he has maybe some flashier toys in the arsenal. But, man, this is Mr. O'Reliable. This reminds me of, like, Ben Roethlisberger and Hines Ward. Like, Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning type. Like Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce. Like, it's that type of duo because they're that deadly. And the thing is, they strike so quick.
They I'm about to say, can I so dare quick. I say that he's probably his best receiver he's ever had?
I mean, he's his most reliable because I think if you're gonna say talent wise, I can't say he's the most talented receiver that he's had because DK Metcalf across the board talent wise, you know, speed, strength, build. You know what I mean? But still, he's definitely. It's like Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, Jay. That's the type of effect that's the type of chemistry these two have. And Jay, we're not gonna see something like that. This man, it's like a switch. You know how Mahomes and Tyreek Hill have that one touchdown play? Well, guess what? There's a team in the NFC NFC North that had the same touchdown play. Four catches, 100 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Like, boy, on the Indianapolis Colts defense that we were highly touting that was going to be a top defense. I know it's only week one, Jay. I know. But still, they got smoked in week one. And I'm just very impressed, Jay, because it's like peanut butter and jelly. Tyler Lockett and Russell Wilson, honestly, they go perfect together. I want to see this duo retire together. I don't care how old it is. Give him a contract like Adam Vinatieri. Just have him on the team because he's that type of – he has that effect on Russell Wilson, and I love it. Another guy.
Before you move on, you know, just staying on Tyler Lockett, and just to correct you, it's the NFC West that they're playing, not the North. West. But when it comes to Tyler Lockett, I was also very impressed. Obviously, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Fantasy, but what was more impressive about it is that Tyler Lockett came off the extension. They extended him for 4 years, so a lot of guys were like, all right, Tyler Lockett, you got extended. Show us what you're about. And for him to come out in week one and put up that performance against what we think will be at least a top half defense in the Indianapolis Colts, it was very impressive, to say the least.
For sure. I mean, like I said, you know, Tyler Lockett, if we were playing Madden Ultimate Team, he definitely deserves a 95 or no less overall card because he did his thing, Jay. But another guy that I want to get to because, you know, you touched on it when you brought up this topic. A lot of people were talking about Brady this and how amazing it was. But, man, I'm a Cowboys fan, and it's still Philly kiss my ass. But I have to give it up. Because what I saw on TV, we watched this game together, Jay, and I know it was Atlanta. I know it was that, you know, defense that stinks supposedly, even though they got some stars on that defense. I just saw a kid who, with all the pressure of brotherly love, with all that, all the talks of, hey, maybe we could trade him for Deshaun Watson, and hey, maybe we could bring in another quarterback because we don't believe in Jalen Hurst. And this man just said, cancel all that noise and put his big boy pants and put out there and went out there and put up a show. I mean, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns. We watched this game. Like I said, we was watching him get out the pocket. You know, Grady Jarrett was doing his thing, getting through, and he was able to extend plays, make beautiful throws. And I'm not saying he's scorching the earth this season, but you know, because it is only week one. But I got to give props to where it's due. You know, it's week one stars, and this kid definitely shined. I'm very happy for Philly with him because, you know, a lot of that stigma of Alabama quarterbacks that you like to harp on, Jay, you want to cancel all that noise, especially with the most – with the, I say, at least 3 most recent quarterbacks coming out of Atlanta, Alabama. That's Tua, Mac Jones, and Jalen Hurst, you know – Jalen Hurst did his thing. I can't knock him. Like I said, my friend Brian, I know you're a Phillies fan and you were definitely, you know, beating on your chest because you're the only team in the division that got a dub. And that's cool, bro, but still F them birds, bro. And I'm just, listen, Jay, I'm just giving them props because out of all the quarterbacks that started last week, you know, I kind of had my eye on Jalen Hurst, probably top 5 out of all the quarterbacks because this guy had a lot of pressure going into this season. A lot of people in Philly don't like. If you probably put up a poll,
Sanders, they try to bring in Gardner Minshew to compete with this guy. What the hell?
Which is disrespectful. Come on, man. And if you put a poll up in Philly, if you put up a poll in Philly right now, and you ask those fans, Would you go on with Jalen Hurst as your quarterback for the next 3 years? I won't be surprised if a little bit more than half of those fans say no. So this kid reads that. He sees that. He knows that he plays in a town where if you suck, they're going to let you know. So, you know, this is a city that threw snowballs to our sacred Santa Claus. They give zero fucks, okay? So they definitely want to see their team in a position to win. I mean, it's week one, and if you look at the standings, they're on top. So Philly fans, as long as you're winning in Philly, they're happy. And he, I feel like playing with that pressure, playing in Philly is kind of equivalent to playing in the MLB in New York. Those lights, that pressure, those fans are serious, you know? So I'm excited that he was able to put on a show when he plays the Dallas Cowboys. Instead of three touchdowns, I hope it's three interceptions and probably 150 yards. And we won't have, and I won't be praising him.
It may be a fumble. Week. Who knows?
It may be a fumble. And I won't be praising him that week. You know what I'm saying? But still, I was excited to see the kid, you know, put up and shut up the haters, you know? So those are my two definitely standouts. You could have went with a plethora of players, though, Jay. A lot of players stood out. But I kind of went with the guys that went under the radar to a lot of folks because as much as Lockett, as much as I said, we see Lockett and Russ, you know what I'm saying? No one expected Lockett to have that type of game because he's always underrated. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of guys that you would start on that offense before Lockett, which is kind of crazy because they're always hooking up. And Jalen Hurst, ain't nobody thought that he was going to put up three tubs and 264 in the air because a lot of people had questions on the arms. So these are the two guys that stood out to me under the circumstances that they're in. So, you know, I'm excited to see who stood out for you, though.
Yeah, and I love the guys that you picked. You know, like you mentioned, we watched the Eagles and Falcons game, and I think we were both pleasantly surprised to see Jalen Hurts and this Eagles team perform the way they did because I came out here before the season started, and I was like, I think Philly going to be the worst team in the league, and they might have heard the show, and maybe they told me to shut up with their play, but we'll see. You got 17 games to keep
for
me
for one
shut.
Week. They're not. For
That's
one
what I'm
week,
saying.
They're
Y'all
not
got me for one week, so we'll see how it goes. But, Sander, listen, you mentioned the quarterback play. Kyler Murray this weekend was flawless. I'll tell you, this kid balled out, man, and I was very happy to see it because Kyler Murray, you know, he gets a lot of junk because of his size. But, listen, he went out there 21 for 32, 289. Four touchdowns, and he said, let me run the ball five more times, and I'm going to score on my feet too. And he did it against a team that I think a lot of people hyped up a lot this year with the Tennessee Titans. And I remember here coming here last show, and I was like, or not last show, last week, when I was like, hey, I know Tennessee going to be feeling themselves. They got these two receivers, and D-Hop going to be like, nah, y'all can't see me. I'm still the nicest quarterback, the nicest wide receiver in the league. And he shut them up because he caught two touchdowns too. But Kyler Murray on his feet and throwing the ball, the kid was phenomenal. I can't say more about him. Listen, I love me some Kyler Murray. He might be in that contention where I don't think he's going to be an MVP, but I think he might try to make a case to be the offensive player of the year, Sander.
For sure. I mean, and that was a great pick as well. He was definitely one of those quarterbacks that I was looking at because he, as Jalen Hurst did, he had a lot of pressure as well. You look at the Cardinals in that division, you know, it's a tough division, Jay. You
put and the every team won this weekend.
Yes. And the thing is, Jay, you put any one of those teams on any other division in football and they're one or two. Like, they're that scary. So it's so tough and it sucks that all four of those teams can't make the playoffs because, damn, it would be tough. But, Jay, hey, Kyler
knows?
Murray.
And
stop the whole, you know, stop the whole he's too short. My man grew an inch, all right? He definitely grew an inch from last season to this season, so he's a little bit taller. And I don't know what the hell's going on with our brother Jose Alberto in Madden with Kyler Murray, but he's definitely at least putting quiet to the haters that think that he can't throw. So, you know, that was a good pick. I'm excited to see who else.
Yeah, you know, I heard the inch came from the cleats, but I don't know. That's just what I heard. But my second guy is a guy that I feel went under the radar and actually caught a lot of smack in the preseason because his performance wasn't up to par. And the guy that I'm talking about was the kid that went number five overall, the receiver Ja'Marr Chase out of the Bengals because, listen, this kid was drop city in the preseason. He was dropping everything. everything. He reminds me, remember a couple years ago when that guy in Philly was like, oh, Aguilar dropping the babies and stuff? He was dropping balls like Nelson Aguilar back a couple of years ago with the Philadelphia Eagles. But come week one, my man caught 5 of his 7 targets for 101 and connected with a touchdown versus the Vikings and gave the Bengals an unexpected win, an overtime win at that, and put the Bengals on the map at least for a week now. We know, hey, Bengals might be a little good this year. And the weapon that they picked up, Joe Burrow's boy from LSU, they look like they still got a little connection going.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you love to see it because you really enjoy seeing players going out there. We understand that we go out there to win. But we also enjoy seeing players going out there and having fun at the end of the day. And Burrow was really high on, you know, the office getting his man because he knew that they had, like you said, they had that connection from the jump. And they got him. And he put, you know, preseason and all those offseason things, you're working out the kinks, Jay. He wasn't a polished product, even though he was really highly touted coming out of college. He wasn't a polished product. And he probably still isn't a polished product. But he's looking better as the season weighs on. And it's week one. He showed out. You know, he showed a little bit of his talent. I feel like that the target share is going to go more in his favor now. Because now I feel like the Bengals see, okay, we got Burrow. As long as we could keep him healthy. We have Ja'Marr Chase. And we have Mixon. We have an offense that can score. You know,
they got,
Higgins as well. I still think that they need to try and invest in that line because Burrow's coming off that injury. And, you know, you don't really want a situation where the young guy's taking too many hits early in his career because then he might end up like Andrew Luck. And we don't want that to happen. So, you know, I really like the kid Ja'Marr Chase. I'm really expecting for the targets to go more. You know, 7 targets is a rookie. It's a rookie first game. Maybe week 2, you'll see that go up from 7 to 10 targets. And we'll see probably even more because I'm excited about Ja'Marr Chase. He has a lot of talent. And with Joe Burrow and those Bengals, you know, they're just trying to compete and build something there.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that they went out and got him and got Joe Burrow, his guy, and Ja'Marr Chase because, listen.
Oh, he won him,
Joe
too.
Burrow. Oh, for sure. That pick was ran by Joe Burrow. Best believe it was because, listen. Anybody who remembered a couple of years ago when Joe Burrow got drafted #1 overall out of LSU, he had this guy, Ja'Marr Chase, and he also had the guy that you might know who this guy is, Justin Jefferson. He's kind of good, right, out of Minnesota. Both those guys, and when they both played together, Ja'Marr Chase looked like he was the better receiver, and we already seen the kind of stud that Justin Jefferson became last year as he won the Offensive Player Rookie of the Year. So I'm very excited to see Ja'Marr Chase as this year progresses. I got him in one of my fantasy teams, so I'm definitely going to start him this week. But nonetheless, I'm very excited. And, hey, I think we picked 4 good guys that went under the radar this week, Sander.
For sure. And, you know, that's what we're – and I'm looking forward to do this often, you know, give the fans a little insight on, you know, players that stood out to us. We're not going to give you the every week standard Patrick Mahomes and, you know, like the, you know, how ESPN just runs it heavy with LeBron James. We're going to give you kind of like off-the-wall stuff.
Yeah, we watch a lot of games, so we got a lot to say. But nonetheless, Andrew, I do want to transition to a little boxing because Jake Paul already said, listen, I ain't going to fight Tyron Woodley. This man told me, I'm going to get the Jake Paul tattoo, and I'm waiting. Peace. Forget the rematch. I'm looking forward to better things, and I'm excited because I did like Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. I was entertained by it because I do take the product for what it is. So I can't believe I'm saying this, Sander. I'm looking forward to Jake Paul's next fight. And this may be because I want some Skittles off you off of it. Maybe I'm just feeling good about Jake Paul at the moment. But I'm actually looking forward to see Jake Paul fight next because I just want to see how this is going to keep evolving because the kid, for what it is, he's succeeding in what he's trying to do. But what do you think that his next move should be now that we know that Tyron Woodley isn't going to happen?
And I'm going to be real, Jay. As much as I thought it would have been good to see Tyron Woodley and Jake Paul too, I still think probably it wouldn't have done the numbers that the first one did, and it probably wouldn't even have been as good as the first one. So I'm kind of glad that Woodley kind of kept his little pride and didn't get the tattoo because you would have looked like a bitch. I'm sorry, Tyron. I know you lost, and I know it was a bet, and I know it was the biggest check and all that, but you would have been a little bitch if you would have got that
tattoo. Maybe this is just me. But the man in a loss still made the biggest payday that he's ever gotten from the UFC. And I do think that if there was a rematch of this fight, I think that the numbers would have been somewhat similar, maybe higher, maybe lower, but I think that they would have maybe averaged out to be the same, because I think that people would have been very intrigued. Like, yo, he really got the tattoo. He really must be serious about this. Let's see this fight again. And I feel like if I'm Tyron Woodley, get the damn tattoo, because you're going to make another couple million. You could get it covered up. And while you do it, you could probably whoop his ass at the same time. So I got to say, Sander, I'm just very disappointed in Tyron Woodley in that aspect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I'm with you, too. As much as I think he would have been a little girl if he would have went through and got the tattoo, I do get your point, and you are right. It would have been good to see, because the fans love seeing the fight. It was a good fight. It wasn't a bad fight. And it would have been even more intriguing to see another camp have a little bit more time under Woodley's belt. He probably could have knocked Jake Paul out. But still, Jay, the question is what we want to see Jake Paul do. And Jake Paul, literally, as crazy as it sounds, right? Because, you know, you literally ask people now who started watching boxing now, and they'll really tell you, like, Jake Paul is legit, or Jake Paul is the hottest thing out. And he is the hottest thing. It pains me to say it really does, because Jay, boxing, it sucks right now.
Is it possible to say that he's drawing like Canelo attention right now?
He is,
right?
Bro, you wouldn't even sound crazy saying that he's up there with Canelo as far as like pay-per-view buys,
the marketing and stuff. Buys. Yes.
Yes, he really is there. And that's sad as hell. That's so terrible for a sport of boxing, because Jay, when is Terrence Crawford fighting? Do you know? I don't. When is Berlanga fighting? Do you know? Because I don't. I mean, where are the prospects? Where's the boxing game right now?
Actually, let me update you real quick, though, because you said that and I read this earlier, so I figured I'd update you because I found this out myself. But Terrence Crawford is actually going to fight Sean Porter. That fight actually came to be. They're going to fight, and it's going to be November 20th in Las Vegas. So I'm very excited to get two legit guys that are going to go at it.
Finally,
just to answer your question
fight.
Real fast.
Yeah, well, guess what? Finally, some fight of some sort, because guess what? For the last 3 months, 4 months, we haven't seen anything. You know what I'm saying? We just saw Pacquiao lose to a guy who we didn't think was going to even fight Pacquiao. We were waiting for Errol Spence. So it's like, Jay, as crazy as it sounds, and I don't care if I sound crazy, because I like to stir the pot, baby. That's what we do over here. Jake Paul has the boxing world in his hand. It is what it is. A YouTube star has it in his hand, and you got to swallow it. You really do, because he can go out there and fight anybody he wants. Anybody he wants, okay? And there's a lot of guys that are trying to call him out. Mike Perry, the Diaz brothers, you know, we already know what that is. We already know that he has some guys that are really catching his attention. Connor is literally starting to talk about this guy. You know what I'm saying? So, Jay, I'm going to give you a few names of who I would like to see him fight, because, you know, I'm a fight purist. I'm a fight game purist. I love fights. That's what I like. I don't care if it's a YouTube star or it's a legit Hall of Famer. If they want to bang, I love to see people bang. You feel me? So, Jay.
That's just because we grew up in the era of world star, Sander. That's
of
what it
course,
was.
You know, Kimbo Slice in the backyard knocking dudes senseless. You know what I'm saying? Yes, bro. We love that shit, you know? So, a few names that I think would kind of make a little bit of sense for the kid. Hey, look, there's a guy that just fought not too long ago, literally less than a week ago, who we saw tear down a Hall of Famer, a man that we love in Holyfield. But Vitor Belfort went out there and tore this man up. I know the man was 60 years old, and he shouldn't have been in the ring anyways. But, hey, he signed the contract. He got paid. He stepped in the ring, and he got knocked the hell out. You know, Vitor Belfort, I love seeing I love seeing TRT Vitor. You know, this is the Vitor that we really enjoy seeing. You know, he looks healthy. He looks like he could swing those gloves a few. That could be a good fight for him, you know, get his name up. Maybe Nate Diaz and him like talking shit back and forth. Mike Perry's another one in the UFC game that really would like to, you know, throw hands with Jake Paul. I really think that these two next names, though, Jay, are where the is where the money would be at. Anderson Silva, we just saw him beat up Tito Ortiz in a boxing match in one round. And we all know that Anderson Silva's hands work. You know, this was his first boxing match. We may not see how, you know, we may not know how good he is boxing, but Anderson Silva at one point wanted to fight Roy Jones Jr. and would have kicked his ass in a UFC fight at that moment. You know, maybe not in a boxing match, but right now Anderson still got the hands. And it's boxing. He doesn't have to worry about kicks. You know, he could still throw something. I wouldn't mind seeing Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. Another name, this man was going to be on that card to fight Vitor Belfort. And it was cocaine-sniffing Oscar De La Hoya. You know, he still think he got it. He still think he's the golden boy, even though I think that gold is old and tarnished. You know,
he's a coke boy. That's what he is.
Yeah, hey.
And we're not talking Fresh Montana.
Hey, whatever it is, man. Hey, if literally OG wants to go in there and think he still got it, Oscar's still a draw. You know, Mexicans love Oscar De La Hoya. You know, that's their heart and pride. I know Canelo got their hearts right now. But, you know, when it comes to Mexican and boxing, like I said earlier, that's like peanut butter and jelly. That's like me at Burger King. You know, you're going to see it happen, baby. So all I'm saying is if Jake Paul wants to continue, obviously, building up his record and, you know, make some change, then I think the higher echelon of where the money would be at is Anderson Silva and Oscar De La Hoya. If he really wants to get in a brawl and a bang out and test himself, maybe not make as much money, but Nate Diaz is no bitch. Vitor Belfort, like you saw, he don't care about your old grandpa getting in the ring. He'll knock his ass out too. Yep. You know, I'm rest in peace to Viejo Santo, but I'm glad that my grandpa didn't get in the ring because he would have ended up dead in that ring. You know what I'm saying? So Listen, Jake Paul, you got a few options, baby. The fight world is in his hands, Jay, as crazy as it sounds, because I don't want to say that, Jay. I want to see Crawford. I want to see Errol Spence. I want to see Berlanga. I want to see these guys in the boxing game take over. Anthony Joshua, the heavyweight. Two, 3 years ago, boxing was all about the heavyweights. Well, Wilder, Fury, Joshua, Ruiz, all those guys, I haven't heard about them since my baby was born. And she's not even 3 months yet. You know what I'm saying? So, Jay, the boxing game is in Jake Paul's hands. So, really, he could go anywhere with it, man.
Yeah, I agree with your final point there that really it is Jake Paul's world when it comes to boxing. He, right now, alongside Canelo, he is the face of boxing, whether people like it or not. And I got to say, I've watched every Jake Paul fight since I watched the second one. He beat up Nate, and then he beat up Askren, and then now he just beat Tyron Woodley. So I feel I'm on the wave, to say the least. Like, I'm not riding the wave, but I see it. You know, I'm seeing it, but I might be on it a little bit. Like I said, he got me some Skittles, so he in my good graces, at least till the next fight. But listen, I did mention that, you know, we are excited that Terrence is going to be fighting, and it's going to be on Las Vegas, and you already know he's going to be there. Jake's going to be there. He's going to pull a big spotlight, and he might pop off and maybe tell you on that night who he's going to fight next. So I would tell people, pay attention. He'll definitely make something out of that night. But what should Jake Paul's next move be? Listen, I'm not sure what it should be, because I just think at the moment he's just trying to evaluate himself and see how he's going to move forward, because he was very honest about his performance after the Tyron Woodley fight. I've never been pushed this far. It was my first time fighting under this conditions with the crowd. I got to get better. So I think he's going to take some time to just sharpen his blade, to say the least. But you mentioned Anderson Silva. That's a move that you should not go for, because Anderson Silva is a diehard combat fighter, and he will put the paws on his man and not feel bad about it at all, Sander, at all. Listen, there's a lot of talk, though. Tommy Fury fought in the undercard before he fought, and if he's anything like his half-brother, he's going to be trending in the right direction, and he'll be a legit boxer for Jake Paul to fight, and maybe it turned out to be a fight. I know that he said that he'll have to, that he's waiting to see what the British pay-per-view numbers was, because, you know, he wants to make the money, and obviously Tyson Fury has his fan base, but his fan base isn't his little brother's fan base. So if the money matches up, then maybe they'll make it happen. Because I know there was a little smack talk because Tommy ended up beating his sparring partner in the fight before. So there's a little japping off, and everybody loves drama, especially when it comes to the fight game. But Sander, I've thought about this, and I thought, like, you know, one of my favorite fighting events was when Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fought. Like, sure, it wasn't like the boxing match like that, but everything leading up to that fight, I couldn't get enough of it. All the press conferences, it was great. So I thought about what could emulate that. And I got one guy that I think could make something similar to that. And I think you're going to like this.
God.
Ready?
Oh, I'm going to like it?
Huh?
Oh, I'm going to like it?
I think you'll like it. Okay. I think it'll be Jake Paul versus the man you call Street Jesus. George Masvidal out of the UFC. Yeah, because if anybody knows how to run their mouth just like these other guys that I mentioned is Masvidal. And he came off that loss from Kamaru Usman. So right now he's on a losing streak.
He's still recovering from that knockout.
He's still recovering from that punch. Holy slap, man. That his sweat went everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, that was such a punch. And I remember, like, prior to that fight, one of the question marks that we had on Usman, as terrific as a fighter he is, one of the things was like, you know, he don't really got like that power. And he was like, oh, y'all don't think I got power? Watch my ex Masvidal's jaw if I got power. Because he's asleep. You know what I mean? But when it comes to what I had, the most hype fight that I think will be a great one, Jake Paul, Jorge Masvidal, to me, I think it's a publicity match mad in heaven. And I think that, I mean, I think Masvidal would win that fight, but Jake will be in his home court. He will be have home field advantage because he is the quote unquote boxer, and Masvidal will be the one adjusting in his ring. And I think it will be terrific, Sander. I really do.
I mean, I love that one, Super J. I'm going to be real with you, man. As much as Masvidal is an MMA professional, he started off backyard with Kimbo. So he definitely got hands.
That's what I'm saying. It's so beautiful. So
it definitely is beautiful for Masvidal. I mean, I think I'll go out on a limb that Masvidal will probably finish his ass in the first round. So if you want the Jake Paul train to go down, more than him, I think lethal him fighting Anderson, him fighting Masvidal would be a straight murder. So, I mean, yeah, it'd be dope. I'd love to watch it, but, I mean, I just think that'd be too tough of a matchup for Jake Paul. And it would definitely sell, but I would go as far in his limb as saying that would be the end to the Jake Paul train. Because Jake Paul will get the shit beat out of him by Masvidal. I think it'd be
worse from Anderson. And I get it. Listen, Anderson's 46 and Masvidal's 36 and Jake's 24, 25. So either way, he has the youth advantage. But listen, I mean, Anderson Silva is my favorite MMA fighter of all time. So, like, I just think that if it comes to striking, Jake will have a better chance against a 36-year-old Masvidal who – you said it. You know, he does have the experience. He is a striker for sure. But, like, I don't see Masvidal as a transcendent striker. Like, Anderson Silva was transcendent. He had accuracy. He had power. Like, he knows how to put punches together. And I'm not sure if Masvidal is as polished as Anderson Silva is when it comes to putting punches together. I could be wrong. But from what I've seen, I just think that it'll be an easier matchup, I guess, even though Anderson is 10 years older than Masvidal.
Hey, whatever Jake Paul does, Jay,
I'll be watching, bro.
So I'm all for it. I'm excited. I will be watching the Terrence Crawford fight just to see if Jake Paul says some shit. So I'm for it.
Oh, yeah, me too. And hey, like I said, it's Jake Paul's world. We're just living in it right now. Can't believe it.
Sorry, all you boxing purists. But are you
right now,
if y'all were afraid of MMA taking over the combat world, you got a YouTube star who's taking over your world. So that should just speak highly, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, before I move on, imagine if this is just the beginning of like a 40-0 streak and we don't even know it yet.
And we don't even know it because, you know, the argument can be said, hey, when you look at your favorite boxer, name their first five fights, You know what I'm saying? And real quick, before we go, because you said a name that got me furious. And it's so ironic that his name is Fury at the end of it. His brother, Jay, I think he's all bluff. Because he's supposed to be a top prospect, but he went all four rounds with a sparring partner. And one of the guys he fought is 11 and 100 losses. So it's like, I don't think Fury's brother is as good as he thinks he is. So I think Jake Paul would probably beat the shit out of him.
Let's find out. Put him up there with Jake. Let's find out. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, but will it be a draw? Because Jake Paul wants to make money, you know? But still, I mean, I get it. Put him in there. Let's see what happens. But I just think Fury let me down so bad with that fight because I was really expecting him to maybe put him out in the first or second. But you went all four rounds with him? I don't know. And it's four rounds on top of that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, who's not to say that he would have had a finish if it went eight, just like the other fights? Yeah, but nonetheless, we digress. We'll be watching for sure. But Sander, before we go, we do got to touch up on tomorrow's game for the battle of the NFC East because the Giants and the Washington football team will be squaring off. And because you are a Cowboy fan, you know, keep your friends close, but you definitely got to keep your enemies closer. You got to scout these guys. And every Cowboy fan and also every Philly fan will be watching this game to see, are these guys going to win a game or lose a game? Because they both lost, so somebody's going to be 500. But nonetheless, who do you like in tomorrow's game?
You know, Jay, growing up in the Northeast, you know, I really loved having all my friends, having friends who were Giants fans, having friends who were Redskins fans, Washington football team, sorry, you know, Eagles fans. And I connect with all of them, you know, even now. You have my friend Dimitri, who is a Washington football fan, who definitely watches them, you know, is a friend of mine. And our man Jace with CMG, you know, he has his G-Men show. Yeah, he loves his G-Man, you know, Danny Dimes. Well, guess what? To me, he's Danny Nichols because I still don't believe that Danny Nichols is it, Jay. Washington football team are going to run away with this game defensively. You know, they played well. I mean, you know, they even didn't get the
Tyler
win.
Even with Tyler Heinicke, because Fitzpatrick's on the IR. He gone.
That defense is good enough to win with Tyler Heinicke because the Giants defense can't stop a nosebleed in week one.
I don't know. I like Justin Herbert, but Justin Herbert says, I couldn't tell.
I mean, hey, listen, but we got to go with what we've seen. That's for sure. That defense is still a legit elite defense. The Giants last week against Denver couldn't stop the pass or the run. So, and what are they going to do offensively against that defense? Like I said, that offensive line is still having Danny Nichols run for his life. Saquon Barkley is still coming off that injury, and he's still going to need a few weeks to get going. So the jury is still out on the G-men. You know what I'm saying, Jay? I don't feel comfortable enough saying that the Giants do anything better than the Washington football team, even at this moment, even without Fitzpatrick, because Heinicke with Dumb and Ron Rivera, I think they still will be quarterbacking to not lose the game. Because with that defense, like I said, you know, they got some dogs in there. They still have one of the top defenses in the league, and they'll still be able to stop Danny Nichols. They still got a few turnovers on Justin Herbert. As great as Herbert was, they still were able to get a few picks on him. Yeah. So they can still hang their head high on knowing that they have something in their back pocket that they know that they can rely on, because the Giants don't have shit to rely on. They don't have a defense to rely on that they can go to, and their offense is all over the place. So if you're going to ask me who's going to win the game, I don't care who wins the game. I wish it ends in a tie because it would end up effing the both of them in the long run. So I don't really care, but I still think that Washington can win this game because they have something better that they do than the Giants. And that's play defense, Jay. And that's what you need to win these tough games, these divisional games that you touched on earlier in our chat. You know, this is a divisional game. These are teams that beat up on each other every year, twice a season. You know, these divisional games usually end in ties because the home team, more times than not, wins. Doesn't matter who it is. I remember when years when the Cowboys were actually good, and we would end up playing a sorry Washington team on Thanksgiving with Colt McCoy at quarterback, and they would ruin my Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it too many times. So, Jay, I'm going to go with Washington on this one Because like I said, I just feel like they do something elite and the Giants just don't do shit half-ass. So I'm sorry, Jay. I don't care who wins this game, but I think Washington will win.
Yeah, and you know, if you're low on Danny Dimes or call him Danny Nichols, man, I call him Danny Pennies, because I remember when they drafted him very hot. I think they drafted him 6th overall, if I remember right. Oh, and I thought they fucked up. And then I think it was last year, they had him on that scramble play. Remember, he was running, he had the open touchdown, and then he fell. Remember, he tripped and fell. And then I thought they fucked up again. You know what I mean? I've never been high on Danny Dimes, and I know they're trying to build a team around him. You got Saquon. You went out and got Galladay. You went out and grabbed the Florida receiver, Tooney, who I like a lot, but they still need a lot of things to go on. And I agree. Washington football team, I think, just has the better roster. They're also going to be at home, which I think will help in this scenario. They got Chase Young. They got the coaching advantage in Ron Rivera over Joe Judge. And listen, a lot of it to me is, sure, I know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is down in the IR, and we're not sure we're going to see him the rest of the year. But the last time I saw Tyler Heinicke, the Heineken man, he played some pretty damn good football versus that Tampa Bay team that ended up winning the Super Bowl. And listen, the Washington football team, they played the best of that, that they gave the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year in the playoffs, the best game that they had. And they played the Saints. They also played the Packers. And then eventually they ended up being my homeboy and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But out of those four opponents, the Washington football team presented the biggest challenge to them. And with that performance, I think that this team will feel good. Like, yeah, you know, we lost Ryan, but we still got Tyler Heinicke, and he plays pretty damn well. I think he'll be good enough to win this game, especially at home, like I said. Is it Anthony Gibson, the running back? Is it Anthony, his first name?
Antoine Gibson.
Thank you. Gibson, he became a stud last year. He's a top 10 guy right now, arguably top 15, wherever you want to put him. He runs really well. He'll also catch the ball out there. Curtis Samuel, he's out there. They have a really good team right now. The kid Thomas at tight end that's there now, he's emerged to be a reliable guy for them. So I do think that this Washington football team will win this game. But I do think that because it is a rivalry game, there's going to be some type of fuckery somewhere, Sander. And even though I think that the Washington football team should win this game convincingly, I can see this being like a 24-21 game somehow.
Yeah, and Jay, you know, like there's small differences, but they're kind of glaring. Like, you know, the head coaching difference. You know, Joe Judge, what is it? The jury is still on the judge. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know if he qualifies as the judge. You know,
there's only room for one judge in New York, and his name is Aaron.
Yes,
okay?
That's absolutely. And Jay Heinicke played well when he came in for Fitzpatrick. You know, he had over 100 yards passing. They didn't turn the ball over, and even threw a touchdown to that boy Terry McLaurin. So, like I said, I still think that Washington has the requisite parts to win a tough divisional game like this, because, you know, when you talk about Danny Nichols, you know, Danny, you call him Pennies, I call him Nichols, whatever. He ain't Danny Dimes. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, you talk about the Giants trying to build a team around him. Well, Jay, Danny Nichols was basically in the draft. You know, they had the Ferraris, the Lamborghinis, and then you got a brand new Toyota Camry. Which is all right. A Toyota Camry is great when you compare them. You know, it's fine. But when you compare them to the other cars that were available, like the Ferraris and the Lambos, and now you're sitting here trying to put rims on it, tinting out, put a spoiler on it. At the end of the day, you still got a Toyota Camry compared to the other cars that were picked. So I just don't know how far you're going to get with Danny Camry. I mean, Danny Nichols. I mean, Danny Pennies. Whatever you want to call them. Jace, I'm sorry, my brother, but I just think the Giants don't have it together right now, and they might. I know you said Philly might be the worst team, and I wasn't on the Giants being the worst team, but it looks like the Giants might be competing with Philly, even though Philly won, with maybe the lower echelon of the division, quite frankly, Jay.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do a quick little look up because I'm just trying to see, because they did draft him 6th overall, Kyler Murray went number 1 overall in that draft. But I'm just trying to look at Dwayne Haskins went in that draft. You also have
– well, Jake, in the draft that the Giants picked Danny Pennies, it's like I know they needed a quarterback because Eli was basically on his last thread. But, A, they could have went with a better positional player, a better drafted player, like a higher overall player in the draft. And guess what? Then they could have sucked the following year, got a high draft pick, and guess who was available? You could have picked Fields, Lawrence, you know, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. You had a plethora of quarterbacks coming. That's why it's like I don't understand what the hell the Giants were doing when they were thinking of picking Danny Pennies as your quarterback, knowing that the following season the quarterback class was going to be who it was. I just wish, who the hell was in that front office when they thought about it? Who the hell didn't think about maybe let's get a tool, the, you know, the offensive lineman, the offensive.
I can't hear you. Anyways, yeah, no, I agree, Sander. You definitely had to make a better choice at quarterback at that spot, and I feel like New York Giants are going to find themselves in that situation in the near future because everybody knows that the NFL quarterback play is everything. So as far as your quarterback is going to take you, that's really as you're going to go in the NFL. But we'll see. We'll definitely stay tuned tomorrow night for the Thursday night football game. I can't wait. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Pot Sports and on Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Make sure you guys check out all our content at theclovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports and give us a listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports. CM Stir the Pot Sports will be right there. My partner, Sander Sanchez, apparently got a bad connection, but it's all right because we'll both be back come Friday, and I'm very excited because we'll have to touch back up on the NFC rivalry game. But nonetheless, I'm JJ Vargas, my brother Sander Sanchez. We'll catch you guys on Friday.
It's been a pretty wet summer in Connecticut, and that means more mosquitoes than ever. If you didn't have your home service for mosquito control and find you're spending most of your time outside swatting those little pests, you are in luck. Mosquito Shield of Central Connecticut provides the best value in mosquito control services because of how they treat your yard using the Mosquito Shield tailored treatment system. They don't use a fixed schedule or an identical product one-size-fits-all service program because you can't control mosquitoes on a set number of sprays or visits. Unlike the competition, Mosquito Shield of Central Connecticut will service you for this season whatever it takes to provide superior results. This promise has awarded them an industry-leading consumer retention rating of 90%. Visit MosquitoShieldCT.com to schedule an appointment with Wade DeCesare and enjoy the rest of your summer mosquito-free.